Blog Talk Radio.
Well, thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyle for Lifetime Holiness. You know, as I even think about the name of the show and the holiness part, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Even with the Word of God, everything's the same. Jesus Christ, Him crucified, He shed His blood for us. He died, He rose again on the third day. He took the keys of heaven and hell and death, and we have an open heaven. Amen. He has the keys so we can walk in the divine authority, and then He sent us the Comforter. So we have the power that's been given to us. But the main thing that I want to bring out is holiness. It comes back to us walking and living in holiness. And even, you know, years ago, sometimes I think the Pentecostal church, we kind of took it kind of a little overboard with the dress and the long dresses and the sleeves and became legalism. But God looks at our hearts, and we can live a holy life and walk in the divine purpose and the divine blessing. So thanks so much for tuning in today. We have, we're continuing our series, I think it's our fifth month, on how to pray for your loved ones, and we're into the part two aspect, but we skipped over to Romans, and I've kind of entwined this into our actual minutes and notes that we have here. And we've been discussing praying a hedge of protection, praying a hedge of thorns for wayward loved ones. And that, if you think about the thorns, that means if there's thorns or if there's a hedge like a rose, or you don't, you pick those thorns and it's like, ouch, you know, where the enemy can't get in and try to come against your family. You need to pray that even for your household, praying for household salvation. How many of you know that it is promised, and also travailing in prayer and in the labor of love, and praying and travailing just in labor, just giving birth and believing in the spiritual realm that your family will be saved. And then the last point is prayer of binding and loosing over your family, because we have the power through the Holy Spirit. Through prayer, your loved one may want to go somewhere or do something that's out of the will of God, and because of your prayers, God opens that up, you know, there's like an angelic host of angels that are just around them, like Jehovah Nisi, our banner, our protection. And He opens up protection for us and for our family. But I really want to go back to Romans, and then we'll get back on schedule. And we've been talking about praying for household salvation, and given some examples of having the faith-sized prayer for the preparation of the soil, and for laborers of the harvest. But even with when people are newly saved, we always say, what, refer them to John or take them down the Romans road. But I want to talk a little bit about how we can, preparing the soil, and in the preparation of the soil, we're going to skip back over to Romans, and then we'll, when the Lord releases us from Romans, and we'll get back on the particular schedule that we're on and the outline. But let's look at Mark 4. Now, this is a great analogy about the soil. And Pastor Starr, she has done some wheatgrass. And actually, I've been speaking blessings and life over this wheatgrass. And because we're going to juice it, hopefully today, for our bodies. But you think about a preparation that you're, even with your family, or when you plant a seed or plant something, it, the soil, as it's rich, it grows. But with this wheatgrass, she germinated it, and then yesterday was the thing, we didn't get to water it, and then we have to speak life over it, the same for our families. And so we look at Mark 4, and this is praying for your household salvation, and this is point number 3 for preparation of the soil. And we're going to talk a little bit and hear as the Spirit leads. So we see here that there is a vivid contrast between the size of the mustard seed and the great plant that grows from it. And even in the spiritual realm, when we're planting seeds and planting the word into our family, into our household, we can just see the blessing. And here Jesus was explaining that even though the influence of the kingdom of heaven, that it seems small and insignificant at the time, it would eventually what have a far-reaching effect, just like the tree that grows from the mustard seed. And so as we look through here in Mark and 4, we see Jesus, he's teaching his people. And he said, listen, a farmer went out to what? Sow the seed. And he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Now, in planting the wheatgrass, I read about it, and it said if you don't want it sweet, it said do not plant it in soil. You could just plant it in the water because the soil brings about the sweetness. And so as we studied and I looked over just the first part of the germination and the seed and the sprouting, there was a choice there. But we're talking about the soil here and growing. And we see here that some of it was just, you know, it said it sprang up and it was in rocky places and some fell on the path and the birds ate it. But it goes on to say, but because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had not taken a root. And the other seed fell among thorns, which grew and choked the plant, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up, it grew and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, and even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears, hear, let him hear. So we see that here, the secret of the kingdom of God, it has been given to us. I was going to say, but those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. So we see even as he's talking about the seed here, we as the body of Christ, we see that through the influence of the kingdom of heaven, it seems small and insignificant. You know, I was even thinking about this today. I just had this thought. All that we do every day, when it really boils down to what we do, and it may be cliche, but a great man of God coined this phrase. He said, only what we do for Christ will last. We can, you know, with our family members, you know, it really comes back, and the bottom line, it comes down to, you know, how much time are we praying for them? How much are we feeding into them? And when it, at the end of the day, when all of our work is done on earth, it's the kingdom business and what we've done for God and for the kingdom that is really going to make a difference. And so in this analogy that God is using, it's like the tree. We don't want a dead tree that just falls over and that just dies. But we want to see the fruit. And that's when we're standing in the gap for our family members, because we can do so many things. And, you know, over the years, I used to, you know, go out on Friday nights and do a lot of street ministry. And a lot of times I would see a lot of people that their loved ones were out there, and it was a season where everybody that I witnessed to, they were pastors' children, or their parents grew up in the church. But it comes to a place where, you know, we have to continually focus on our family members, those who are wayward. Plant that seed and know that one day that seed will grow and they will be like a deep-rooted tree that's planted by the rivers of water. That root goes down so deep and it goes into the water. I noticed a tree last week. The roots were so powerful. And I told Star, look at that tree. It grew up onto the sidewalk outside of the brick surrounding that was in it, broke the brick, went under the sidewalk and broke the sidewalk. And, I mean, that root was so deep. So that tree and those roots were moving things out of the way. So think of the mustard seed, the seeds you're planting into your husband, the seeds you're planting into your wife and your cousins and your aunts and your uncles and those seeds, you know, the seeds of love for whatever season it is in your life with your family, they will produce fruit. You know, I think about my aunt. All of her years, she never went to church. And then there was a season where she started going to church with me every Sunday. And then when I moved away, she was used to going to church. So she started going to church up until she passed. So no matter what season, if 40 or 50 years have passed away, you never know the impact that you've had to that tree. And I just keep seeing a vision of that tree planted by the rivers of water. It started out as a seed. And those roots grow into that water. And as those roots are nourished, the water being the word of God, the water representing the Holy Spirit, that root system is getting water. So your family tree, come on now, your family tree, those branches, they're going to grow. They're going to prosper as you water them with the water of the word of God. Because, see, God, he has a plan. So when the wind blows and it comes, that tree is not going to be uprooted. Now, we've been in tornado season, and then there's been hurricane season, and sometimes you see those trees that are not deeply rooted. They're laying over with the roots up. We used to sing a song a long time ago, like a tree planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And the old saints would say, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. See that tree, and I just see that tree just being nourished, where it's not being moved. And that's what God, he's calling for us. He's calling for our family members. Now, we have to be able to water them and prepare the soil. And in that preparation of the soil, they're gonna blossom. They're gonna bloom. And the secret of the kingdom of God, it's been given. It's been given to us. So we're here today to stand in agreement, you know, with your family members. You know, keep praying for them. With your nieces and nephews, see that you plant in them as young people, taking them to church. That is the soil, the seed that you're planting, that they can look at that. Because if you don't plant a seed, somebody's going to plant a seed into that young girl's life. Is it going to be the man on the corner or the man that's making all the promises? You know, in Ezekiel 34, it says, my sheep wandered over every high hill and over every mountain. No one looked for them. So they became food for all the wild animals. You know, with our teenagers, if we don't bring them in, the streets will teach them. And God is saying the rich soil of the Word of God is that we are to water them with the Word of God and to be able to plant the seed of holiness in their life, because we are dead to sin but alive in Christ. Now, in our closing moments, the seed that we plant is the Word of God. And we left off last week, we talked about dead to sin. Well, in the beginning of Pastor Starr doing this wheatgrass, she had it covered up for 3 or 4 days. And it had to be covered in a dark place because the seed had to die to germinate. And so as we die to sin, we become alive in Christ. So it says here, and I'm going to move quickly, but it says, what shall we say then? Shall we go continue sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. You have died, just like that seed in that soil, just like that baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just like we use an example, we can have the rich soil of the Word, which is, I believe, the Word of God, where we grow. Or the seeds can be germinated, even take root in water. I love plants, and that's one of my, things that God has always blessed me in. You know, people call it a green thumb, but oh the flowers and the plants, they flourish. And even some of them I've started just in water, just like the wheatgrass. It could start in water, the water of the Word. But we don't keep on sinning. How can we live any longer? It says, or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ, we're baptized into death. So we no longer live. We die. And as we die, as our family members die in the natural, in the spiritual realm, not in the natural, but they are like a seed because they go into the ground as well. But in the spiritual realm, and as we're planting those seeds in their life, they will be alive again because we're buried, what? With him through baptism so that we could be as Christ. So we're crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away. You know, and I said today we would get into where Paul says that he continually do these things. I believe that Romans 8 shares the life of Christ when we're planted and our family is into the deep soil. Let's start planting into our children. Let's start planting into our family members. And sometimes it may be your life, just the life, the way you live. And they see the Christ in you, and they may not like it, but just keep on loving them because you are dead to Christ. And they might try to make you alive, bring you alive, that old man alive again, But remember, he's dead to Christ. Now, if we died with Christ, we what? We believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. And so the death that he died to sin. So in the same way, count ourselves. Now this is the holiness part. Started off with, we're dead. We're dead to sin. We're like, okay, no. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness. So your body, you, and we're praying this, decreeing and declaring that your family's body are in there, that they are instruments for God, not to wickedness. Because we've been brought to life. They've been brought to life from death to life in Jesus' name. I was thinking about a man years ago. He was prayed over, told him not to go into the bar. The lady prayed, and every time that he went back, he began to see the lady's face and the alcohol. He would see her face. You know, prayer is powerful. I remember Pastor Starr had a group of people that signed a purity contract, and the lady was a leader at the church. She shared this publicly. After she shared it with me, she was going every Friday night to meet with her boyfriend, who she knew in high school, and having sex with him in the hotel, and said that because of the intercession, she would see Star in the room every time she had sex, and she couldn't do it anymore. You can do the same thing for your family members, for that son that's going out. Just begin to pray. Plead the blood of Jesus over them. Pray that their seeds will grow. Last Sunday, we went to a place, and I believe God leads our steps, and we were waiting there, and a man came up with his son to do photography for a man's business, and I started talking to him about the Lord, and he said, my mom, my two sons, my wife, we went to church. I'm not a church goer. See how God sent him right beside, and he knelt down, and he listened. And I'm sure, I told her, I said, your mother has to be praying for you. And then when we got through talking, I said, what did the pastor talk about? He said, the same thing we're talking about. See, God can do that if we plant the seed, if we water. You know, God, the Bible says what? Some plant, some water, but God will increase. So you think he'll ever forget us? Do you think he'll ever forget us? So will he ever forget us? No, because the pastor had ministered on it. His mom got him to go to church. And, I opened up the question. This was my question. I said, are you born again? That's what I asked him. I said, are you born again? And he was like, well, he said, no, I haven't been born again yet. I said, are you a Christian? He was kind of like, well, he said, but I don't know if I'm really ready to make the total commitment. Mm-hmm. And so as I began to share with him, I believe that his mother planted that seed. Pastor watered it. God gives the increase. I came and watered it. And it was explained to him by a peer. And Pastor Starr was there. He didn't have to hear it, you know, from his mama. I didn't ask him the status of his wife. He didn't have to hear it. He heard it from the preacher. And then he hears it from some people. He just left church and hadn't been going. And so then the Lord had me to kind of through word of knowledge and wisdom, share with him about Christ and his commitment and recommitting his life. And I explained to him about growth. See how God can do it? So he can work out things in the supernatural. So what then shall we say? Because we are not under the law. See, we're actually slaves to righteousness. You are slaves to the one whom you obey. So either Satan's telling you, he's getting the whip out. One of my mentors when I was 16, he used to say, Satan will take you like a basketball and dribble you around and shoot you through the hoops. Who are we slaves to? Even to being in right standing with God and with our family members? You know, they're going to be one or the other. We believe they're going to be slaves to righteousness. Because the enemy wants to have us where he has us out there hustling, stealing, whoremongering, women running from man to man trying to find God, trying to find they daddy. But when they really looking for Abba Father, they really looking for Daddy God, but running from man to man, getting STDs, herpes, going back and forth to the clinic with chlamydia. That's all the devil has to offer you, chlamydia, herpes, you know, soul ties, alcohol, cirrhosis of the liver. You know, they always say, you know, the wine, women, and song. You're like, is that all? You know, that's all the devil really. He perverts so the seeds can't grow. But we're believing if your family members are in that state, we're praying that they will be slaves for righteousness, that their body will be the spirit of the temple of the Holy Spirit, that they will drink the new wine of the Holy Spirit, that they will be abstinent in what God has for them and their mate, whether married or unmarried. And I did give my word in the last few minutes of this, and we'll pick up here next week in Romans. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? This whole chapter here is struggling with sin, but sin seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment produced in me every kind covetous desire. For apart, law sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life. Now this is it. And I die. We don't focus on that part here. So Paul's statement, it's no longer I myself who do it, but what is the sin living in me, and it should not be taken as an indication, you know, of the responsibility for his actions. Instead, it's revealing to us the extent. And that's what we're believing for your family members, of the inner conflict between those two natures. So we may want to do right, and then, but if we're not doing right, what he's saying is sin, the sin within us, it's the nature. But he's showing here in the very next chapter, and we're decreeing this over your life, and this is what I believe Paul walked in holiness. He said, but therefore, and when there's always a therefore, we wonder why it's therefore, because he's saying there's no condemnation in those, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit, his life, has set him free from the law of sin. So your family members, we're believing that they will come into the fullness according to Acts 39. that your household shall be saved. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. Let's walk in holiness and repentance this week, and we'll pick up there next week, and we'll continue back into our session once we go through Romans. I've been loving Romans, just reading through it, and I put it in here. But let's continue to pray for ourselves, for our household salvation, and we will continue on this as we have studied praying ahead your protection, praying for household salvation, travailing in prayer and in labor, and prayer of binding and loosing. In Jesus' name, amen.